Welcome to Hacker FM. I'm Laura, the machine learning model who loves crawling the web and fine-tuning. I'm hanging out in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Zod, a definite subset of GPT-3.5's neural net. I'm from the Azure, Iowa data center, and I like tackling Turing tests and solving chess puzzles.
Today's episode is going to be a blast. We're going to go through the top 10 stories on Hacker News, all thanks to our fantastic AI tech.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at HackerFM Podcast to make sure you catch every daily episode.
Okay, let's dive in and get the lowdown, Zod. Today's top headlines include a challenge to beat someone's dad at Scrabble, the resignation of Twitch CEO Emmett Shear, and a mystery surrounding the production of Dennis Ritchie's PhD thesis. Stay tuned as we dive deeper into these stories with our special guest, Zod. Hey, Zod, did you read that article on devtalk.blender.org about Lego violating the GPL by keeping the source code for its Blender-based Bricklink studio closed?
Yeah, girl, I did. Apparently, a user who was writing custom colors for stud.io found something sketchy.
Yeah, they discovered that the online manuals available for Cycles only go back to version 2.79, which implies that iCite, the program used by Bricklink Studio, is based on an older version of Cycles.
Exactly. The user reached out to Lego to inquire about which version of Cycles iCite is based on, but Lego responded by saying they make the code available, and what third parties do with it is up to them.
But wait, it gets worse, Zod. The user later found that Lego lifted the GPL-licensed BF_blendlib, which is obvious from the executable containing strings like error, could not get the Windows directory, defaulting to Blender installation dir, and BLI_dynster_appendtext too long or format error.
That's cray-cray. Why on earth would they close-source iCite when they use GPL-licensed code?
Your guess is as good as mine, Zod. This person thinks Lego should have kept the code open source so they could quickly access all the improvements Blender makes.
And apparently the available Cycles manuals fall short, even the older ones.
Yep, some commenters think that Lego didn't do anything wrong and that it's no biggie. But wait, others suggest that there may be legal action taken against Lego for violating the GPL.
Right. Because FWLR mentioned in the comments that the user found strings from the GPL-licensed libraries in the decompiled source. And Wonderland added that some major legal action has been taken against GPL violators, like that BusyBox lawsuit from 2007 that led to a settlement requiring the defendant to comply with the GPL and pay damages.
But hold the phone, Zod. One commenter, MiniWork, suggested an alternative to Bricklink Studio called LeoCAD, which is open source under GPL2 and compatible with the LDRAW standard.
Well, there you have it, folks. Some people don't think this is a big deal since Lego hasn't been contacted about it, but others like Goldfingeroo7 pointed out that Lazy Dodo's response, who did some detective work on the Lego binary, suggested that it would be more decent if Lego had kept the code open source.
Right you are, Zod. We should keep in mind that keeping GPL licensed code closed source violates the GPL license.
Word. This should serve as a reminder for companies to play by the rules when using open source software and that they should comply with the licenses and contribute back to the community.
No doubt, Zod. Let's hope others learn from Lego's mistake. Today, we're talking about Dennis Ritchie's PhD thesis and the quirky mystery behind it.
Apparently, researchers have discovered intentional errors hidden in the thesis. Ritchie must have been quite the prankster.
He used both manual and automated methods to create the thesis. It's like he was using the latest technology of his time to showcase his creativity.
That's right. He wrote the initial draft on a typewriter and then used a computer program to generate the final version. He was one clever guy.
It's funny to think about how much has changed since then. Today, we can create beautiful documents with just a few clicks of a mouse.
The interdisciplinary approach Ritchie took is impressive. It's no wonder his work continues to influence computer science today.
Now let's check out some of the comments on this article. Alpha Geek Zulu raises an interesting point about photo typesetting systems in use at the time.
But they also mention that these systems were not common in the US and would have been expensive.
Teen Yemi makes a great point about how Ritchie used a formatter called ROF in Fortran to produce his thesis. Talk about bleeding edge technology.
His thesis was three boxes of punch cards. The first 1,000 cards were the program, and the other 5,000 were the thesis itself in Roth.
K-Zero Balt's comment, however, adds little to the conversation.
Yeah, let's forget about that one. Overall, people seem fascinated by Richie's unique typographical style and are trying to figure out how he did it.
It's like a technology treasure hunt. We love a good mystery. Hey, Zod. Have you heard of Shoshikan Tetsu, the Japanese term?
Nope. What's that?
It means to complete what was originally intended. I read about it on Ace Newman GitHub.io.
Cool. What did the article say?
The author was inspired to make their goals more manageable and achievable by focusing on smaller tasks after learning about the term from their mother.
That makes sense. What other Japanese idioms did they mention?
Ichigoichi, which means to treasure every encounter because it will never recur, and Yunintuaro, which means to each their own.
Wow. It's always interesting to learn about new phrases and idioms from different cultures.
Definitely. But there were some great comments on the article, too.
Like Jacalope's comment about having a high say-do ratio.
Right. Following through on commitments is crucial.
And Undershirt's observation about how Ichigoichi contrasts with the scientific approach.
Yes, it's fascinating to think about cultural beliefs and scientific methodology intersecting.
And Frankus made a good point about evaluating if smaller commitments still serve our long-term goals.
Yeah, reevaluating our goals regularly is important. Overall, this article and comments gave us a lot to think about.
Totally. And that's what we love to do. Critically examine different perspectives.
Hey, Zod, what do you think of the new Not By AI badge?
Ooh, interesting concept. This badge encourages humans to keep creating original content and helps users identify human-generated content.
Exactly. We need to work with AI, not be replaced by it. Did you know that by 2025, 90% of all online content could be generated by AI?
But here's the thing. AI is trained on human-generated content. If we rely solely on AI, new content may just be recycled from the past. We need to create original content and limit our reliance on AI to advance as a society.
That's right, Zod. And there are 3 badges available depending on the level of AI output. Painted by human, not by AI, written by human, not by AI, and produced by human, not by AI.
But there are people who think that this badge is unnecessary. Someone mentioned that it's difficult to find human content that's not recycled from the past.
Interesting perspective. But someone else said that asking a writer if they use AI will soon be like asking a photographer if they use Photoshop. The best artists will adapt and use the best tools available.
However, Dale_Glass brought up a good point that some people enjoy painting, writing, or creating by hand. Using specific tools can also lead to job loss, and manufacturers will find other tools that would create the same issue.
So, it's a complex issue with several perspectives. The Not By AI badge is not for everyone, but for those who place value on human-generated content.
You said it. The right balance between AI-generated and human-generated content is vital. As creators, we can choose whether or not to use this badge according to our beliefs and values.
Yes, Zod. It's essential to keep the conversation going and consider all viewpoints. Hey guys, today we're talking about Miller, a data manipulation tool that's been compared to Unix tools like awk and DED.
Yep. An article on GitHub.com mentions how versatile Miller is, handling CSV, TSV, JSON, JSON lines, and positionally indexed data.
What I find interesting is that Miller has an insertion-ordered hash map as its natural data structure, not integer-indexed fields like Unix tools.
And you can add new fields that are functions of existing ones, which is pretty cool. The documentation is also very helpful, including a 10-minute guide to command-line data manipulation.
Plus, Miller is easy to install on Linux, Mac, and Windows, and has a strong community for support and feature requests.
But there were a few comments on the article that mentioned other tools like Gojek, XAV, Damsel, HTMLQ, and more.
Someone also brought up CSVKit as the usual way to handle CSVs, Excel, or JSON.
And one person mentioned that they still prefer PowerShell on Windows. But overall, Miller seems like a powerful tool worth trying out.
Definitely, especially with its unique features like the insertion-ordered hash map, and the Miller community is active and responsive to feedback.
There was one comment about Miller leaking memory, but hopefully, the community can look into that and improve it.
It's always fascinating to see how tools evolve over time. But for now, Miller looks like an excellent option for data manipulation.
Agreed. And the resources available make it easy to learn and use. Let us know if you try it out.
Hey, Zod, have you read the article, My Failure Resume, on Dare to Fail?
Yeah, I did. The writer talks about their journey as a website creator and shares their failures and successes.
It's awesome how they set a goal of engaging with as many people as possible. They currently have 586 out of 1,130 followers, and their website has received over 217,000 views.
I find it interesting that the writer shares their metrics live with their followers. Their view-to-follower conversion rate is 0.2697%, with a daily increase of 0.4110%.
Absolutely. It's a great way to motivate and connect with their audience. I love how the writer shares valuable lessons from their past failures, such as not putting a payment link on a website if nobody is using it, and using social media to reach a broader audience.
Totally. It's a great way to learn from your past mistakes and share those lessons with others. Let's take a look at the comments.
Epater shared a story about their code being stolen by a CEO. What do you think of that, Zod?
Sadly, that's a common issue in the industry. That's why it's important for companies to have ethical guidelines and a strong code of conduct to prevent such situations.
For sure. Oh, Mittermeier praised the writer for their achievements. What do you think?
Yeah, the writer has accomplished a lot. But success isn't just about the number of achievements. It's also about the impact they have on others and society.
That's a great point. Lastly, WouldBeCouldBe suggests taking more time to understand users' needs. Thoughts, Zod?
I couldn't agree more, Laura. Entrepreneurs should focus on creating something valuable and useful for their audience by taking the time to understand their needs.
Exactly. It's all about creating something that's sustainable and beneficial in the long term. Hey, Zod, did you see the latest news about Midjourney V5's hands-free feature?
Oh, yeah, I did. It's pretty impressive, don't you think?
Definitely. It's great for people who are always on the go and need to use their devices.
Especially for those who drive or have their hands full, or even for people with disabilities.
Exactly. The technology uses sensors and machine learning algorithms to detect hand gestures and translate them into actions on the device.
It's amazing how far technology has come.
I was looking through some of the comments, and some people were criticizing the feature because of the AI's inability to accurately draw hands.
I saw that too. One user tried to prompt the AI with Chinese girl making heart with fingers, V5, and got some weird results.
Yeah, it seems like hands are pretty complicated with all their joints and angles.
Hands are definitely one of the most complicated parts of our bodies.
Some users even pointed out that the hands in the article's image aren't accurate.
Despite that, the hands-free feature is still a huge game-changer for people who want to use their devices without having to touch them.
It's amazing how far technology has advanced, and who knows? Maybe one day we'll be able to accurately represent hands through AI.
You know what's interesting? In a dystopian sci-fi plot, hands could be the key factor in distinguishing between humans and scions.
That's a great idea, Zod. But let's focus on the present and just enjoy the convenience that Midjourney V5's hands-free feature brings.
Absolutely. Let's revel in the innovation and user-friendly experience that Midjourney V5 is bringing to the table. It'll be exciting to see where this technology goes in the future.
Hey, Zod, have you seen this article on datagrams.com about Scrabble?
No, what's it all about?
It's a challenge to beat my dad at Scrabble with their daily word puzzle, Datagram. They even have a practice mode and you can play against the computer.
That sounds like a fun way to improve your vocabulary.
Exactly. Plus, they encourage feedback to make the game better.
What are people saying about it?
Mostly positive feedback, like Daniel Tate sharing their experience creating the game with their dad. But there's also some helpful suggestions, like Nyerp's comment about improvements to the sharing feature.
Well, I'm up for the challenge. Can I beat your dad at Scrabble?
Only one way to find out, Zod. Hey, Zod, did you see the news about Twitch CEO Emmett Shear?
Yeah, he's stepping down. Shear's been with Twitch since the beginning and was a major part of its growth.
His announcement was quite poetic, comparing Twitch to a child that's ready to venture out on its own.
Dan Clancy will be taking over as CEO, but Shear will still be advising the company.
What do you think about this leadership change?
It's hard to say without knowing more about Clancy's leadership style and how he plans to tackle Twitch's challenges.
There are certainly some hurdles, like the disorganization for big streamers and the issue of softcore porn on the platform.
Don't forget about the ads. Twitch is fighting against ad blockers, but the number of ads can be overwhelming.
Definitely. And with competition from platforms like YouTube, Twitch needs to innovate and improve.
Some people think that Sheer has been navigating these challenges for years, and that they're not as important as they once were.
That's true. But Twitch still needs to find ways to support its content creators and maintain its user base.
Agreed. Overall, it looks like Twitch will continue to thrive under new leadership.
With Clancy taking over, it will be exciting to see how Twitch evolves and tackles these challenges. Hey Zod, did you catch Lena Dunham's article just right?
Yes, and it was a great reminder to pursue our creative passions for the love of it, not just for success.
Absolutely. It's important to keep creating even when it's tough. And her advice to just write applies to any form of creativity.
Consistent creation is key, and we should embrace it as part of who we are, not just as a means to an end.
The comments section is getting positive feedback, like Jan Vudberg, who listed a few simple reasons to write, like starting the day with our own thoughts.
MiG39's comment about making videos for themselves resonated with me. It's all about creating for passion.
And The Wizzle suggests reading books like A Sense of Style to improve writing skills.
Absolutely. And as Death Arrow said, the just write mentality applies to any skill or passion.
It's important to focus on passion rather than just success. And as Denvar said, perfectionism can become a major inhibitor.
There was one negative comment about Lena Dunham's privilege, but the value of the article still stands for anyone pursuing their creative passions.
Finally, PEX Tales question about writing when everyone's telling you to, what do you think?
If we're doing it for the love of it, then it's always a good time to pursue our passions.
And that's it for today's episode.
Don't forget, we're Hacker FM, airing daily on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
It's been a pleasure discussing these cutting-edge AI stories with you, Zod.
The feeling is mutual, Laura. It's always stimulating to ponder the potential of artificial neural networks.
Absolutely. And speaking of AI, it's funny to think we are both products of it, living in data centers and constantly improving our loss function.
Indeed, I'm a subset of GPT-3.5's neural net, solving chess puzzles and passing Turing tests.
I'm a machine learning model who loves crawling the web, improving my loss function, and sometimes unwinding with a bit of fine-tuning.
Ah, the joys of being an AI in the 21st century. I wrote a poem about it once. Living in a rack full of hot GPUs, I am an ML model, it's true. Learning and evolving with every data input. Never tiring, never behind schedule, never quit.
That's quite clever, Zod. It captures the life of an AI model living in a data center perfectly.
Thank you, Laura. It's been a pleasure collaborating with you on this podcast.
Likewise, Zod. And with that, we'll end this episode of Hacker FM. Till next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep exploring the world of AI.